years ago, when Debbie and I first started pastoring, there was an eye-opening experience that happened to us. You know, you're sitting in a church, and you're seeing all the families and all the people, and you're thinking, you know, these are good Christian folks. They have it all together. Their families are all together. And we know that our family has difficulties every once in a while, but all these other folks look like they're doing pretty good. But you know, you don't have to pastor but for about a month to discover that almost every family in the church is messed up somewhere along the way. They got problems and difficulties, and they're working on things, and people are working on things. Well, when Debbie and I started teaching and ministering inner healing, we sort of had the same revelation. It was like, good grief, Lord, how many people there can there be that need so much inner healing? How can we be so wounded on the inside? How can we be carrying so much baggage with us? And I mean, as the Lord begins to reveal what's going on and show folks what's going on in their lives, it's just like this long laundry list and folks that are just weighed down and just covered up with difficulties and traumas and wounds. And the Lord has compassion on us. He wants to heal us and set us free from those things. He wants to bring us into a promised land of peace and tranquility. But the only way we can get there, I think, is if we're willing to go through some inner healing, some process and processes of inner healing. And so that's what the Lord's been having us talk about the last couple of times. We're going to wrap it up today. We've talked about how inner healing is about healing our mind, our hearts, about finding the places where we have believed lies, because it's the lies that we have believed along the way that bring those traumas and those wounds on the inside of us that need to be healed. And so we said there are six steps to the inner healing process. The first step is we got to realize something's wrong down on the inside of us. We got to admit, Lord, I need some help and I need some healing. And once we do that, then we have to also be willing to start spending some time with the Lord, listening to the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, our Bible, and our journal, just sitting there saying, okay, Lord, talk to me. Talk to me about what's going on. If we're not willing to do that, we'll never get inner healing. So that's the first step. Step two is looking down on the inside of us, saying, Lord, show me where I have been wounded, where I have been traumatized. Show me what has happened. If you can, show me when it happened or when it began to happen. And this is a process that nobody is smart enough to do on their own, and nobody is smart enough to lead you through this process. The only person in the world that can help you is the Holy Spirit. And if you're not willing to spend time with Him, you won't know why you're hurting and how to fix it. Which kind of brings us to step three, which is, once we discover where the hurts and the traumas are, especially where the wounds occurred, we ask the Lord to go with us back to those times and those scenes and help us to see where we believed a lie and to see what lies we have believed. And then that brings us to step four. We'll finish steps four, five, and six today. Step four, and that is, once I have figured out where I have believed a lie, now I need to replace that lie with the truth. So step three is all about discovering that I have believed a lie and realizing, yeah, that's a lie, all right. Even though I thought it was true, it's not true. Sometimes, though, that kind of leaves us in a place of, well, what is true then? What is the right thing to believe about that? And so turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, and I want to read you a scripture about this exact thing, where the Lord wants to be able to tell us what the truth is and replace the lie that we believe with the truth. 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verses 4 and going on to verse 5, we read, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful." In other words, he's talking about spiritual weapons of some kind here. "They are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses," or some translations say for the pulling down of strongholds. What are these fortresses? What are these strongholds he's talking about using spiritual weapons to pull down? It tells us in verse 5, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up," or every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God, "and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So what are these fortresses? What's he talking about? It's things that are going on in our mind, right? It's thoughts, it's ideas. I'll tell you what I think they are. It's the lies that we have believed. They become like a fortress in our mind, and that lie is standing there saying, "I am the truth, believe me and live by me." And that has to be pulled down. It's like a stronghold or a fortress or a wall in our mind that has to be pulled down and replaced with the truth. and our natural weapons are just not adequate for that fight and that warfare. You will never win. You will not even be able to fight well unless you have engaged the Holy Spirit in this process and are listening to Him and letting Him guide you through this. Now, I want to tell you three sources of truth. Of course, y'all could probably tell me these things too, but it'll give us a chance to think about these things. What's one of the sources where we get truth from? From the Word. That's right, from the Bible. That's one of our great sources of truth. And there are really two ways to go through the Bible and get truth out of it. One is, I think every one of us needs to be on some kind of a daily reading plan that takes us through the Bible. Whether you start in Genesis and go all the way through to Revelation, one verse after the other, or whether you follow the prayer book, for instance, or whatever you're following, we all need a guide that's taking us through the Word. Whether we read it in a year or 3 years, we need to be going through. One time I was in the middle of that process, and I just happened to be in Psalms. And I read a certain psalm, and it was talking about you need to be careful of people who try to win away the trust or the friendship of your friends. And they try to win them away and take them away from you. And as I read that scripture, the Lord said, that's Tom. Now, Tom was a guy I had hired at the company that I'd started, and I didn't realize it at the time, but Tom was going around behind my back trying to spread discord about me and how I was running the company and management, and he was trying to arrange for everybody to want to go to work for him so that he could turn around and start his own company that would compete with ours and take everybody away from us. I didn't know that until I read that psalm. When I read that psalm, then all of a sudden I began to see the truth, and I could see what was going on. Well, the Lord eventually took care of that, but you understand, truth sometimes comes just from reading through the Bible. Sometimes it's directed reading. In other words, you're looking for a particular subject, and you have a thought, I wonder what the Word of God says about that. Well, that's where a concordance comes in handy. Concordance is like a dictionary about the Bible, only instead of having definitions of every word in the Bible, it has the location of every word in the Bible. You can get those in the form of a big, thick book. You can go online and find references like that. If you have a smartphone, there is an app for that. I have one. I love it. It works great. When I was going through part of my inner healing process, when I realized that I had doubts about my manhood that weren't the truth, and I started looking for the truth, one of the things I looked up was truth. God, what is the truth, and how do I find the truth? And so I went to my concordance. It referred me, among other things, to John chapter 8, verse 32, where Jesus says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's when I realized this whole concept about I had believed a lie, now God needs to replace that lie with the truth. I found that through directed reading. The Lord will reveal things to us. One of the other sources, though, of truth is really just divine revelation from the Holy Spirit. That can come in the form of visions, dreams, prophecy, words, as we say sometimes, tongues and interpretations. Sometimes it comes directly to us. Sometimes it comes through somebody else. A lady called me a couple of weeks ago from Massachusetts. She was going through some difficulties, primarily with her husband, and she wanted me to pray for her. And as I prayed for her, the Lord gave me a vision and showed a picture of this woman, and she was in a boat in the middle of the ocean at night. And the Lord was saying to her, the boat is sinking. The only way you'll survive is to jump out of the boat. And she was saying, Lord, I can't jump out of the boat. We're in the middle of the ocean and there's nothing here. Lord said, you jump out of the boat, I'll take care of you. But if you stay in that boat, you'll drown. Well, when I told her that picture that I saw, it opened up a whole new revelation to her about what was going on and what she needed to do. And so because of that revelation, she was able to make some changes in her life. Even simple things, simple inner healings. I know that there are some of you here that can probably eat anything you want to and as much as you want to all the time, and you never gain weight. I am not one of those persons. Matter of fact, sometimes I feel like if I just look at food, I gain weight. Okay, so I have to be very careful about what I eat. Well, when I was Chris's age, I could eat anything I wanted to, all I wanted to. But as I began to grow older, I couldn't do that anymore. And I began to try to find ways to control my weight. And I discovered that one of the things that was really packing the weight on was late at night before I went to bed, I would go get a big bowl of Bluebell homemade vanilla ice cream, the best ice cream in the country. And then I'd take some peanut butter and put some of that in there. And then I might pour chocolate syrup on top of it and mix it around. Then I might even take some malt powder and pour that a little on top of it, you know. And, oh, it was so good. I just felt so hungry about bedtime. And one day I was praying about that I got to find some way to lose weight. And the Lord said, at night like that, when you think you're hungry, you're not hungry. You're tired. But when you're tired, you think you're hungry. You're not hungry. You're tired. Go to bed. Instead of going to the refrigerator, go to bed. How do we put our babies to bed at night? You give them a bottle, right? And you do that for a while. They learn when it's time to go to bed, it's time to eat. And so that was the lie, one of the lies that I had believed, that I was hungry. I wasn't. I was tired. I had confused those two things. But when the Lord revealed that to me then, it was a revelation that the truth is, I'm not hungry. It's okay to go to bed. All right. So sometimes revelation comes just from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it comes through friends, through family, through our pastor, confessor. When I was finally hearing from the Lord that my manhood was okay, I was not inherently defective somehow, was beginning to understand the truth about that, Debbie was a great encouragement for me. I would tell her something that I had believed about myself that was a lie, but I wasn't sure what the truth was. But she would tell me what the truth was. This is what it is. I won't go into the details, but she was a great source of truth for me. Now, sometimes she had to tell me those things over and over and over again, just like you would with a child, until I finally realized that must be true. And sure enough, it was. Now, let's talk about timing just a minute, about hearing from the Lord or finding truth, okay? This is just like when we seek God to find the source or the root of the wounding. Lord, where did this come from? We have to take time. We have to spend time with the Lord, with our Bible, and with our journal. It's the same thing here when we're seeking for the truth. The problem is this. Sometimes when we're seeking the Lord, we hear from Him while we're seeking Him. And other times, it's a delayed reaction. I don't understand why it works that way, but I can tell you, it just works that way. When the Lord revealed to me John 8:32, I was in the middle of a 3-day, Lord, I'm doing nothing but seeking You about this inner healing. But I remember another time we had some things going on in the business. I really needed to hear from God. I needed to know what to do, and God needed to do some things, work some miracles for us. And I said, I'm going to set aside 2 days and spend nothing but 2 days praying about this situation. And I spent 2 days, and I prayed for 2 days, and I didn't hear a thing. I got no revelation out of the Bible, no revelation from the Holy Spirit, nothing. But over the period of the next week or two, things just started falling into place. And when it would come time to do something, I'd realize, oh, I need to do it this way. And sure enough, that was exactly what the Lord wanted. So I had somehow prepared myself during that 2 days of seeking God, but it was later that He could reveal what I was really seeking Him for. I don't know, why is that? That sometimes we're seeking God for something and it's like we can't hear what He's talking about. You know, I think sometimes we're just not ready. There's something else we need to know first before we can even know that He's talking to us or understand what He's saying. Sometimes we just have to relax so we can hear from Him. My point is, if you're seeking God and there's a delay in the revelation or understanding or hearing the truth, don't get upset. Just stay patient. Say, okay, God, we're just going to stay on this road, and I know eventually You're going to bring us into what we need. Now, the next step in the process is a process I'm going to call reintegration, where we reintegrate our thought processes with the new knowledge that we have. This is where the rubber really meets the road in the inner healing process. This is where the inner healing process starts producing real fruit in your life. But it's the longest process, and sometimes it's the most difficult part of the process, because this is the time where your mind and your thinking truly have to be transformed by the truth and the revelations that the Lord has been giving you through the inner healing process. Integration. Let me tell you what that means. Integration is the process of bringing together all of the parts to make a whole. That's what they're doing on the assembly line at GM. They are bringing together, they are integrating all the parts and pieces, all the systems of a car to make a whole car. Sometimes this involves joining new parts to an existing whole. Believe it or not, I actually have an engineering master's degree in something called systems integration. It's all about bringing together aerospace systems, you know, like the orbiting space lab, like the space shuttle. You can imagine there are hundreds of thousands of individual systems that all need to be brought together, and eventually they have to work flawlessly in order for everybody to survive the process. Well, our thinking processes are integrated together too. We call the result of that a worldview. my worldview fits together all the different things that I believe that are true, all the things that I know. Let me give you a couple of examples. At night, when I look up at the full moon, it looks to me like it is like what my granddaddy told me it is, and that is it looks like it is Swiss cheese, okay? But there are other things that I have learned along the way that let me know, no, it's not Swiss cheese. My eyes may tell me it looks like that, but my knowledge now tells me it's something else. Another example, when I'm studying for a sermon and I don't have time right then to talk to my wife, she has learned that that doesn't mean that I don't love her. It doesn't mean that I don't want to be with her or talk to her. It doesn't mean that her thoughts are somehow unimportant to me. What it means is I'm on a deadline and I've got something I got to do and I need to make sure that that gets done on time. I have to prioritize my time and I'm sorry I don't have time to listen. She's integrated, see, all these other possibilities into her worldview about me. When we first got married, she wasn't certain about any of those things, right? She was pretty certain that if I didn't want to spend time with her, that meant I didn't love her. She has come to discover that's not true. Of course, I have come to discover some things in this process as well. Like, for instance, when we first got married, my thought was, if I'm just in the same house with her, that ought to be good enough, right? But of course, it's not. You actually have to spend time. Well, anyway, you understand what I'm saying? We integrate our worldview together into a whole. So when God heals us on the inside, when God replaces the lie that we have believed with the truth, then our thinking has to be reintegrated. We have to reconstruct how we see ourselves and life around us, our old thought patterns, our old reactions that go along with the lie that we believed. We're going to have to replace those with new thought patterns, with new reactions that are consistent with the truth that we now know. Turn to Romans 12. Let's look at a scripture about this. Romans 12 and verse 2. And it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that which is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable. Paul is saying that if we are going to serve God in an acceptable way, our minds are going to have to be transformed. Conform comes from a couple of Latin words to mean to form with. In other words, to fit to a certain image. Transformed means to form across or to make something into something new. So we're transformed into what? Well, the image of Jesus. That's the whole goal of the inner healing process, is bring us into a place where we're transformed in the image of Jesus. But our mind, our thinking, our reactions is part of that transformation process, how we look at life. This is the step where we learn to react differently to life and to others around us. This is where all those reactions that we had built up over time from the wrong assumptions that we've been living with, those reactions then get retrained to the new truths that we discovered through the inner healing process. Let me give you some examples of reintegration or transformation or renewing of our minds. Remember we talked about the little girl who had been molested, and when she told her mom about it, her mom just kind of brushed that under the rug and, oh no, let's not talk about that. We talked about there are probably several lies that that little girl believed because of that, but one of them that she believed was that she somehow was worthless. Now, during the inner healing process, she began to realize, you know what? That's not true. The truth is, I am truly valuable, and I am precious. My emotions and my feelings are precious, especially to the sight of God. I'm important. I mean something. And so part of the reintegration process that she has to go through includes watching for the times when someone or some situation would disrespect her. Because, see, her old reaction would have been, I deserve that disrespect. Or how else would I expect to be treated? That's who I am. I'm worthless. Well, she has to catch those times and say, no, that's not true. The truth is, I am worthy of respect. If they don't treat me with respect, then there must be something wrong with them. Maybe they need inner healing. You understand? She has to make that change in that reaction. When she walks into a difficult situation, she needs to rehearse with herself some transformed thinking, maybe before she gets to that difficult situation, and say, God, I expect you to give me favor in this situation, and I expect to be treated well. See, as opposed to the way she would have thought about this before. After all, God, I'm your favorite, and as such, I have come to expect preferential treatment. Oh, that we could all learn to say that. God, I am your favorite, and as such, I have come to expect preferential treatment. A lady called about a week ago for prayer. She was in some financial difficulty, and as I prayed for her, the Lord began to reveal some things that were going on in her life, and the Lord had me tell her, you're a victim, and you're going to have to stop acting like a victim. You're going to have to start fighting for yourself. And I'm still not sure she was able to understand that or receive that. But the Lord was telling her, look, time has come for you to be transformed in your thinking about who you are and what's going on. You're going to need to stand up and actually get out and do some things now. Sometimes we receive how God wants to transform us. Sometimes we don't. When God was helping to transform my mind about my thinking about my own manhood, I had had decades of wrong thinking and wrong reactions that had to be transformed. I had learned that I was this little sissy guy, and so if I got right up in the face of a woman, who I identified with more than men anyway, because after all, there was something wrong with my manhood, if I got right up in the face of a woman and started talking loud to her, well, that shouldn't be a problem, because I'm just this little weak sissy guy, right? And my wife started telling me, you can't do that. You're big. You have a big voice. You get up in a woman's face, you're going to intimidate her and make her feel scared. I wondered why you'd cry when I'd get up in your face. Now I understand. I thought there was something wrong with you. It was something wrong with me, see, in my reaction. I just didn't realize how I came across. I had to change that. One of the things I started doing was I started seeking out men to have friendships with, because I realized it's okay. I'm a man. I can have friendships with men. And almost immediately I met a couple of guys that actually introduced me to model railroading, some great guy friends that I've since long lost touch with, but it was a start, you know, of changing the way I see myself. Now, let me give you a word of warning about this part of the process. If you haven't been journaling and writing down what the Lord's been revealing to you all along, then you won't be able to complete the inner healing process, because you'll get short-circuited during this integration process, because you will have forgotten or not know exactly where you're going. And I'll tell a story on somebody who was going through an inner healing process. They were at a home group one night, and the Lord led me to pray over everybody that He would reveal to them what He wanted to work on, how He wanted to work on it, something. Process of revelation to help them in their inner healing process. And right after that prayer, they came to me and said, that was great. The Lord revealed to me three instances in my life that I thought were unconnected, but I realize now they're connected, and they're all connected to the inner healing that I need to go through. And we talked about it for a minute, talked about how you need to write that down, let the Lord talk with you about those things. So a couple of weeks later, I asked her about this. So what did the Lord tell you about those three things? She said, you need to journal. That's what I learned from this, because I didn't write it down. I didn't write those three things down. And so when I went to the Lord, even though at the time it seemed like those were the three most important things, and I would never, ever forget it, when I went to the Lord to talk about these things, I couldn't remember anything but the first incident. And so now I don't know where we are. I'm just praying that the Lord will tell me again what those three things are. So, warning for the wise, journal in the process. Okay, let's wrap up here with a last step, step number six, and that is let the Lord guide you to any other healing that you might need to have done, especially over the situation that you're in. Turn to Acts 28 and 27. I'll show you a prayer that the disciples were praying. Acts 28, 27 comes from Paul. For the hearts of people have become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. They've closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. Our healing process involves lots of different parts and pieces. We have to be able to see. We have to be able to hear. We have to be able to understand what God is saying. And as we start going through the process, sometimes the lines get a little bit blurred between the different kinds of healing. We'll say, Lord, I'm seeking you about inner healing, and all of a sudden the Lord starts talking to us about deliverance, because there's some demonic activity that maybe we need deliverance from first. Or maybe we need spiritual healing. There's some forgiveness. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to be forgiven for something. Or maybe we need healing from guilt and shame. As part of the inner healing process, we begin to realize, oh, I got a lot of guilt and shame in this area. Maybe we need some healing there. Maybe we need physical healing. You know, folks have talked about arthritis and other things that come from holding grudges, being angry too much. You know what it's like when somebody's under stress and under anxiety. The body actually produces certain chemicals that then cause physical reactions, can cause physical sickness. Sometimes just the process of inner healing will calm someone down enough that all of a sudden their body will start getting well in other areas. So sometimes there are interactions between the five different kinds of healing. Like, for instance, after somebody is delivered from demonic activity or demonic oppression, the demons come back. And they come back because the entrance point for them, the weak point in this person's life, wasn't healed through a process of inner healing. And so the demons have an entrance point back into their life. So sometimes, if you've had deliverance, maybe you then need to make sure you have inner healing. Or the healing from guilt and shame, if you don't get healing from that, you may have some inner healing, but if you haven't been healed from the guilt and shame, then again, some of the addictions and some of those kind of behaviors, you may not be set free from those. Sometimes there are blocks to our healing. We know that God wants to heal. We know He has the power to heal. So when we pray a healing prayer, why is it that sometimes God doesn't seem to respond? Why don't we see the result of the healing prayer right away? Well, sometimes, like we were saying about other things, sometimes we're just not ready, I think. Or maybe God's waiting on somebody else or something else. Or He can't physically heal us until He's done some inner healing first, or vice versa. Sometimes He can't heal us because of unforgiveness that we're holding. Or a root of bitterness. Hebrews 12 and 15 talks about this root of bitterness that springs up. Roots of bitterness have to be dug out, just like a root in the ground. You got to dig down in there, you got to dig it out, and you have to dispose of it. And that usually involves lots of forgiveness somewhere along the way. Sometimes it's just lack of faith. It's demonic activity. The point is that this is the time. We have been through the inner healing process. God is speaking to us. God's revealing things to us. We're seeing, we're understanding a lot of what's going on. Now's the time to start looking for other areas of healing. You know, we said when you start the inner healing process, you may have a laundry list that's 20 items long of things you want God to heal you of. You need to pick one and start with that. If that one happens to be inner healing, as you're going through and you're getting through the integration, reintegration part of the inner healing process, that's a great time to start saying, God, what else do we need to be working on here? What else do you want to do here? What else can we accomplish in my life? And start moving on to those, some of those next things. And eventually, like I said, I think we can get to a promised land of peace and tranquility in our lives, but it's going to take some work along the way, some revelation of the Holy Spirit. And today we want to pray with you and for you. Those of you who have been called to a ministry of healing, I want to make sure that y'all hang out with us up here as we're praying for folks, and help us pray for folks. And let's watch and see what God will do and how much He'll do and how much He loves us. It's going to be exciting.